This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking. And the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Jacob. Thank you for joining me. This is Hunt Detail. Hope you're having a great off season. This is May. Holy moly. I'm starting to get that spidey sense as it relates to upcoming fall hunting season. I know May is a long way off from September and October, but it's, I don't know, May, June, July. I mean, it really starts to get momentum. We're entering summer. And then we've got fall, and it's really starting to get fired up about it. I have not done hardly any turkey hunting, and the season's about to wrap up here, and I'm pretty much going to go 1 or 2 days, and that'll be it. And I'm okay with that. It, for whatever reason, this year has just been busier with other things in life, as I've mentioned before. And if it were deer season, you know, I would shift things around, but it's not. It's turkey season. And for whatever reason, that just sort of goes on the back burner. So, you know, today we're going to get into more of out-of-state hunt planning. And this is a multi-part series. And before I get into that, I did want to let you all know that the Western Elk Hunt Planner, a book I wrote a number of years ago, is I'm going to continually do a promotion with it. So I think on Wednesday of this past week, it was like 99 cents. And then every day, what Amazon does, this is the Kindle version of the Western Elk Hunt Planner by Jacob Koons, C-O-O-N-S. Every day they will increase the price for a period of, I think, about a week. And I just checked it today. I'm recording this on Sunday or Saturday, actually. Today it's $6.99. It's normally priced, I think, $19.99. And so this coming week, when you listen to this, I'm going to see if I can put it right back on sale, and it'll do is start at 99 cents again. And then Amazon will increase it to like $2.99 and then $4.99, $6.99, that sort of thing. And it's just one of the ways that you can promote your books. I wish I could just keep it at 99 cents, but it's not, I'm not allowed to do that, at least through this promotional. So even at $6.99, I think it's a great deal. It has it only has 5-star reviews, and it has 7 total reviews, and all of them gave it 5 stars. So if you're able to snag it for 99 cents or $2.99 or whatever, I think it'll be a value. Again, this is the Kindle version. One of the things that I saw a couple weeks ago, there's a video on YouTube now evaluating e-bikes for hunting that I put together on the Hunt Detail YouTube channel. I encourage you to check it out. I think it's maybe 10 minutes in length. And I really look at 1,000-watt motors that have adjustable class settings. That's really important. And also are mid-drive e-bikes and also have at least a 20-amp-hour battery. If it hits that threshold, then it's something that I looked at. There's a lot of hub drives, and hub drives is not something that interests me. But ultimately, the way that Kawasaki came out with some sort of electric horse sort of thing, I talked about that on the podcast a few weeks ago. I came across this. It's from Ungoverned. It's called Vendetta, and it's electric all-terrain skateboard. And so it looks really interesting. It's like it has the tread of a tank. If you can imagine that type of treading that sort of rotates, and it's gets up to 31 miles an hour, and it shows it going up and over on trails and up and over things. And it's $6,000. Now, I think me personally, I'm going to wait until, you know, that price point comes down a little bit more and there's a little bit more, a few more options out there. But I thought that was really interesting. I could see that a lot for those of us that like to, I don't know how loud it is, but those of us that like something that's just small. And so an electric skateboard that's all terrain, I think, if I'm hunting whitetail, would be maybe, you know, have a lower profile, of course, than a bike. But thought that was interesting. Thought I'd share it with you. Check it out, Ungoverned Vendetta. I have no affiliation or anything like that, but it's always fun to look at these types of toys that are out there. Also, go to the Hunt Detail YouTube channel, download, or go check out the video on e-bikes. I think it'll help you understand that space a little bit more, because it can be a little overwhelming sometimes when you're looking at like something at Costco or something on Amazon. So last week we talked about having a hunt objective, and the importance of the hunt objective is everything sort of comes from that. All of your e-scouting, all of your gear, all of that flows from your objective. If you don't have a clear hunt objective, then you may or may not need a water system or a cook system. Because if you're just hunting from your truck or the trailhead, all that can just stay in the truck. But if you are going to be going many miles away from your vehicle and camping, then you have to have a water and a food system. And then, of course, you have your e-scouting changes. And so it impacts a lot of things. And also, if you're hunting with other people, it's important that you have objectives that are aligned. So, because if you don't, then they can create conflict, obviously, because Jimmy wants to go back 10 miles and, you know, and bivy hunt, and you maybe don't want to go back 10 miles or vice versa. And so it helps to know what everybody's sort of objective is. I encourage you to go back to that podcast and listen to that. Today, we're going to talk about phase two, which is the plan. Now, assuming you've got your objective, now we want to start building out the structure of our plan. And let's say, I'm going to assume you've got your state. And again, this could be, I live in Michigan and I'm hunting in Ohio. Or it could be, I live in Pennsylvania and I'm hunting Wyoming. It could be any species, but you have to chop up the state to understand, all right, now where do I want to allocate my time? And again, even if you're going to be at somewhere for 14 days or 10 days, every second of every minute of every hour of every day is critical, because you don't want to waste time trying to, if you have a bad plan or no plan, you don't want to waste time trying to figure out what you're going to do or where you're going to go, or, you know, because it could be very frustrating, even if you're just hunting solo. So as it relates to chopping up a state, I last year I hunted Colorado on a secondary tag. I mentioned that. Previous year I hunted Wyoming. These are both for elk. Very strong hunts. Very pleased with my prep. Everything was pretty well dialed. But how do you chop up those states? How do you figure out where you're going to go? And how do you know if there's going to be a lot of pressure there or not? And in both cases, I mean, I did pretty well. I mean, I think in some spots there was more pressure than others, but it didn't impact my hunt or my hunts in particular. And in other years, I've gone to other states. I've hunted a pronghorn out west, and this was almost a decade ago. And there was very little information on the internet about where we hunted pronghorn. And I put together, I think, a pretty solid plan. And we were in the mix a lot, and it worked out really well. But I think one of the things I tend to look at are, what are the population center hubs? Obviously, if you're going to Midwest state to hunt whitetail, or if you're going out west, where are those population centers? And obviously, even though hunters are a small percentage of the overall population, if you're going to be going to a particular state and you're hunting near a big city, you're going to have more people, more weekend warriors or what have you. And so I think that's something that I look at. Obviously, you want to figure out where the public land exists. You want to understand the rules and regs of that public land. Some cases, if you're hunting in the Midwest, you've got states that won't allow you to use weapons in certain areas. You can only bow hunt only, or there is a muzzleloader season or a rifle season in this piece of land, but in this piece of public over here, there's no rifle season, that sort of thing. So it's important to understand that. I think for me, though, in terms of breaking down a state, I'm looking at I want to try to understand the terrain. I want to understand the road systems. I've found maybe a big piece of public that isn't a part of the state that I like, that maybe isn't next to a giant city, so it's relatively remote. And what does the road system look like, or the trail system? And are there, especially like out west, is it going to be a lot of ATV traffic? Am I going to have to deal with ATV hunters? Nothing wrong with that. Or am I looking for those motorized vehicle traffic areas? And you can Google MVU, motorized vehicle utilization maps for a particular state, and you can understand when certain roads are open or closed to certain types of vehicles or whatever. And that's always really helpful. It's not 100%, but it should be on sort of the state's game, national park website, that sort of thing. And so I try to understand the road systems, because if I can understand the road systems, then I can understand where the pressure is coming from. And I can also understand how I can hunt in relation to that pressure, whether it's using the pressure or getting away from the pressure. So obviously there are, if you are completely blind to a state, there's YouTube and podcast, of course, and Onyx. I think Go Hunt has species distribution in their map layers. So if you are like, I have no idea where X species live, if you have a subscription to Onyx or Go Hunt, it will, they will have those like winter range and summer range. And you can sort of get a sense of the range of particular species in those. And if you want to look at a comparator of all those, Hunt Detail YouTube channel, I've got a video breaking down Onyx, Go Hunt, Huntwise, Hunt Stand, Spartan Forge, Base Map, looking at all of those platforms. And so that's on there if you're interested in looking at those. Facebook groups, I think, have emerged as a really popular way to get local intel, local information. These are very deep niches in terms of like public land. Yeah, I'm just going to say public land, New Hampshire, whitetail. You know, like you could really get down, or bow hunters of Maine. And so you can really dig down deep into these Facebook groups and get a sense of like, okay. And some folks will mention like, got him in this region or this piece of public, which I would not recommend. I wouldn't share that information. I certainly don't try to share that information in terms of what, you know, areas I hunt or go or harvest. But Facebook groups can also give you, they'll have you pictures, and you can get a sense of what the terrain looks like. There are certain weather apps like Windy that has weather cams across the country, and you can click on those cams. They're live. Windy, at least as of my most recent evaluation, it's free to look through those weather cams. And so you can look in real time what the weather or what the terrain looks like in any of the, you know, any state. But weather cams, ski lift cams, traffic cams are all great resources to give you some sort of indication of like, oh, okay, it's, you know, there's a bunch of snow out there right now, or this is what the terrain really looks like in real time. And so I think those are some ways that I try to, again, try to chop up the state. Historical weather, it can also be really helpful. What is the weather look like in early September if I go out there versus late September or early October historically? If you're going on an elk hunt, some folks, especially if you're going to like an Arizona or New Mexico, they really feel like moon phase can affect how bulls will, whether they will bugle or not during the day. Because under a full moon, they might be more apt to rut all night and just be quiet for most of the day. And so you may want to consider looking at moon phase to determine the time frame that you go out to a particular area. Now, the state wildlife agencies, they will publish stats in terms of harvest rates, success rates, or number of hunters in a particular area. And it's not consistent, of course, with each state, but it can give you an idea of maybe where the pressure is, or where, you know, oh, really high success rate. Maybe Maybe that's an area that I want to go to, or maybe that's an area that I want to avoid. But those are some things that I would look at and sort of evaluate on my own. Now, of course, there are other websites, paywall websites with Go Hunt or Hunt and Fool that can also give you a sense of what a state is looks like. And a lot of folks use those. Certainly I have used those. I use those. And, if you find it that you're really struggling, it may be a good starting point to look at that. So as you go through each of these, you start to get a sense of like, okay, I like this region. I feel like the population hub is really strong here. I've got decent intel. I reached out to some people on Facebook, strangers, and say, hey, I'm coming in for a week. Do you have any recommendations on, I've noticed this, and this. What are your thoughts about my evaluation? I wouldn't ask them for pins or anything, but I would share with them my evaluation. Now, I'm going to talk about Google Earth in a minute here. Obviously, hopefully we're all using Google Earth. And I think it's important to understand the, Google Earth on its own can be really helpful, but I'm going to mention some plugins that you can use that will really help you in addition to Google Earth. And so there is one of the, and actually you want to download Google Earth Pro to your laptop. Google Earth as a website doesn't allow you to install plugins, and it doesn't give you the same access to the same information. So, but one of the plugins is, if you go to the National Weather Service, this is, a plugin that will allow you, you basically download it to your computer and pull it into your Google Earth Pro, and it'll allow you to see, for example, the snow depth in real time, or as close to real time. And so it enhances Google Earth Pro, and you can, and it can help you understand, what you're getting into, especially if you're hunting, especially now, if you're hunting in May or June for spring bear, as that snow melts, areas green up. As those areas green up, it attracts spring bear. And I know that a lot of folks use that plugin for that purpose. Now, EarthPoint has a plugin that allows you to take, and you can sort of toggle in between the satellite image to topo imaging. And the topo imaging or EarthPoint can be really helpful because it can help you see and evaluate the terrain without the trees, without the brush, without other things obstructing your understanding of how that terrain lays out. So those are two plugins that I would recommend adding to Google Earth Pro. And then again, we're drilling down. We start at a macro level and you're pulling in all of these points of information from all of the things that I've already shared. And now you're starting to get a sense of, okay, I definitely don't want to go there. I'm really interested in this area and this region. And you're starting to mark up things to get them really pinpointed in terms of where you're going to go. I drew a mule deer tag for this year. I got to do the same thing. I'm a little behind the eight ball. It's not as intense because it's not hunting elk. I feel like I'm going to be spending a lot of time in the car driving and looking for deer before I set up stock, but I really do need to put together my plan. One of the other things is if you're hunting hilly terrain and you want to sort of be able to see areas, and let's say it's maybe you're looking for mule deer, you're hunting for elk, you're hunting for bear, and you want to be able to view certain areas from a high point, there's a viewshed feature on, it's called viewshed, and it's on Google Earth Pro. And essentially what you do is you click on the, you right click on the pinpoint and scroll down, and it'll say show viewshed. And it will highlight all of the things you can see from that particular high point. So it'll turn it, say, a color of green, for example. And so you can evaluate those peaks and as a way to spot sort of glass areas. That would be a nice tool. Or it is a great tool to use if you plan on doing some glassing, because you can evaluate peak areas and say, okay, I'm going to set up here. I'm going to all morning going to glass this area. And some areas obviously will be better than others. And that's called the viewshed tool. And so those are some things that I do to really get a sense of where I want to start with a particular state. Now, next week, we're going to dive a little deeper. We're going to get into a little bit more of the e-scouting and really start to put together a more concrete plan where we almost have every day lined out for the next 10 days, 14 days, whatever, how many days. So let's say day one, I want to do this, and day one turns out to be sort of a failure. Then I have another plan for day two and day three. And what you'll have is you'll have eight different plans for your time or more. And then you'll find that you'll probably only use two of them or three of them. But what we'll do is having those plans will keep you engaged and keep you excited. Because again, if you only have one or two plans and neither of those work, and then you're scrambling, then it's an exercise in frustration, because you don't like, okay, I don't know where to go. I don't have cell service. I don't have a way to pivot. It's going to take me 6 hours to get to another piece of public land or whatever. And so you want to have those. You want to create too many for you to ever work through, because by doing so, you're always going to stay engaged in the process. Because you're like, oh, I forgot about that. I'm excited. This is an area that sets up really nice. And this is plan C or D or E or whatever. So thank you for your support. Give this a 5 stars. And we'll talk again next week. All the best.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.